Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I was thinking about this, and I didn't say this in the first service, but I started thinking about the irony of Father's Day gifts and things like that, because I just realized this morning that my family gave me a gift of a hammock. Now, I like hammocks, so I mean, that's actually a gift that I actually like, But they gave me a gift of a hammock, and then I started thinking, I said, well, you know, it's certainly appropriate because my family comes from a long line of swingers. There's actually a theory that my family is actually descended from Indians to some degree. Have yet to prove that, but some would claim that the name hammock means that which swings between two trees, and so things like that. But I just give thanks to all the dads here today, and I pray that you guys have a great Father's Day, and I want to thank the Lord for my kids, and because, you know, without them, I wouldn't be a dad, I just want to let you know I'm so blessed that God has enriched my family with a family, and I say that purposely because I want to tell you a little bit about my son. My son is living in California, and currently he is working on a PhD in history and women's studies, and he sent me a paper a few weeks ago, and I finally read it, and I wanted to just tell you a little bit about this paper because it made me think about Abraham. It made me think about the life of Abram, and of course, if you know anything about American history, you know that there was a time when settlers were coming from the east into the western parts of the United States, and they were looking for prosperity, they were looking for gold, they were looking for all kinds of ways for obtaining a happy life. And everything looked good out west. But you had to go through the hardship of traveling across the land through the Overland Trail and through the Oregon Trail and several other trails that they used to travel across the United States. And I wanted to tell you just a little bit about this one person named Asenath Larimer. Now, Asenath is a woman's name, so just so you understand that, I would not name my kid Asenath, but it's a, I guess it was for that time, it was a good name. Asenath Larimer was married, and she had children, but her husband died. She was from Athens County in Ohio, and when her husband died, she didn't know what to do. She had all these children. She was college educated, but she was a mom. Her brother, who had decided that he wanted to go west to find gold, they saw the promised land, if I could put it that way, in the west. So she left her children with relatives and traveled with her brother across the Overland Trail. Now, on the journey, there was a lot of hardship. People died. People became sick. Very terrible things happened. One of the things that she talks about is the unbelief on the trail. That she said that many of the men and women did not honor the Sabbath day. But Asenath was a woman who trusted the Lord. She was a woman who had faith in God to such an extent that she was disturbed by the lack of belief and the lack of faith on the lot of the people that she was traveling with. Now, once they got to California and they had reached the hope that they had that this would be a new life for them, this would be a new experience for them, that they would be able to have riches, they would be able to make a living, they would be able to do all those things. And you would think that all that happened for them, but it didn't. They got to the promised land, they got to California. Clinton, California is where they ended up. It's a ghost town today, actually. They got to Clinton, California, and things didn't go well. Her brother wasn't getting enough gold to really make a living, she ended up having to do day labor type jobs, house cleaning, that kind of stuff. It was a very difficult and hard life for them. But she pressed on because she continued to trust in the Lord. And by trusting in the Lord, she worked hard, she did what she needed to do, and eventually she became a baker. She started baking products, and then eventually they left Clinton, California, and they settled in San Francisco for a season. And there she established a business, a bakery business in San Francisco. And then from there, she sold the baking business and moved to Santa Monica, California. There, she established what was known as the Santa Monica Reading Room, which eventually became the Santa Monica Library. This was a woman of faith that, through perseverance and trusting in the Lord, she saw the blessing of God. And I think when we come to a story like Genesis chapter 13 and we talk about Abraham and Lot, or Abram and Lot, we have to understand that there's this perseverance, there's this trusting in God that needs to take place in order for us to see the blessing of God. Today we will look at the story of Abram and Lot. In fact, one of the ways that I think that we could best get to know somebody is by watching the way they treat others. And the story of Abram and Lot is a great story to look at with regard to seeing the character of Abram and seeing how he dealt with the situation with Lot. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn to Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read through this chapter. Genesis 13, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will take the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will take the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the power of the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at your word today, as we meditate upon it, we pray that you would teach us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I do pray that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, for you, Lord, are my strength and my redeemer. I thank you for each one here today, and I pray that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the situation. You have the story of Abram and Lot. Abram leaves Egypt. Abram heads north into the Negev. You know, if you remember, they traveled down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and you have the whole situation between Pharaoh and Sarah and Abram and all that mess that was kind of going on down there. And then God calls him to come back. And so he left Egypt, and he heads back up north to the Negev. And the Negev is kind of like, if you think of a map of the Holy Land, it's kind of like the southernmost portion. You're leaving Egypt, and then you come through the desert land, and that's called the Negev. And tracing the very route that he had taken to go to Egypt when the famine had come to the land. God had blessed Abram while he was in Egypt, and he returns with an abundance of livestock, silver and gold. And the reference here is kind of preparing us for what is about to come, what is about to happen between Lot and Abram. Abram continues to travel north to where he first built an altar to the Lord, between Bethel and Ai, an altar dedicated to the worship of the true God. And there he calls upon the name of the Lord. It's interesting that this is what happens, that Abram, one of the first things he does as he comes back to the promised land, that the land that he is promising to Abram, he goes to the place where he built an altar and he worships the Lord. And I think there's significance to that. I think a part of it has to do with his recommitment to the Lord. He kind of messed things up a little bit when he was in Egypt. He kind of didn't trust the Lord like he needed to do. He didn't rely on the promises of God. In fact, he kind of relied on his own strength and his own ability and kind of fouled things up a little bit. But now he's coming back to the land and he's recommitting himself to God. He's recommitting himself to the Lord and he worships the Lord. A recommitment, if you will, to the God who called him out of Ur of the Chaldees to the land of promise. Abram learned a valuable lesson of faith while there, that he can trust in the covenant promise of God, that the promise was not contingent on his obedience, but the Lord... That the promise was not contingent on his obedience to the Lord, but that God would fulfill his promise in grace and mercy towards those whom he has called to follow him. The promise was not contingent on his obedience to the Lord, but that God would fulfill his promise in grace and mercy towards those whom he has called to follow him. Thus, even though Abram's lack of faith was evident in Egypt, God still blessed Abram by protecting him from Pharaoh and by providing him with greater riches when he left Egypt. Before coming to the Whosoever Gospel Mission in 1989, I had gone through some difficult times in ministry. I thought that after graduating from seminary, I was now prepared to be a successful minister of the gospel. I can remember entering the pastorate with visions of a church growing, being a good Bible teacher, a good preacher, a great counselor, and everybody loving me. Although there were a lot of reasons why things didn't work out as I hoped, there were at least two that stood out more than others. First, I chose pastorates that, at least from my perspective, would be easier rather than difficult. I chose pastorates that were easier, at least in my thinking, than were difficult. I still remember one church I was candidating at. And I went down there, and they were talking about all these theological arguments they were having, and they were having all this. I said, I don't want to be here. And I just said, no, I'll just go to the other church. And I said, well, God is surely calling me over there. So I took the easy road rather than perhaps trusting in the Lord. Second, when things grew difficult and tense when I pastored, I resigned. I didn't trust the Lord, and I panicked, and I made bad decisions. Doesn't mean that God didn't use those circumstances, but as I look back, I could have made better decisions, and I could have thought things through a little differently. When I began to realize that I needed to trust God more and trust in his promises, I in turn made a promise to the Lord. I knew that in order for me to be mature as a Christian and a leader in the church, I needed to be still and know that he is God. So I promised that no matter where God sent me next, I wasn't moving for at least 2 years. I needed to see what God can do in me to help me grow and be the man that he has called me to be. I needed to also see God working in the circumstances of my life, in the good things and in the trials and tribulations as well. In 1989, God called me to go to the Whosoever Gospel Mission. I didn't know anything about addiction or homelessness, but I trusted the Lord. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but guess what? It was where God wanted me to be. I grew at the mission. I matured at the Christian. I know that's a subject for debate, but that's okay. I matured at the mission, and I have seen what God can do through me and through others at the mission. Have I lapsed? Have I made mistakes? Have I thought about moving on? Have I thought about thinking of doing things differently? Yeah, I have. But God has called me to trust him. And now 25 years later, I can see the blessing of what trusting in the Lord can do. This is the story of Abram at this point. He lapsed in his faith while in Egypt, but now he has recommitted himself to trusting the Lord. And the first test of his renewed faith is about to unfold in the most sensitive of areas with his family, with his nephew Lot. So here we come to the story of Lot. In Genesis 13:5, we come to Lot, the nephew of Abram, who up to this point has been traveling with Abram. Lot, along with Abram, was blessed while they lived in Egypt with flocks, herds, and tents. Probably the reference of tents with regard to Lot has to do with the large groups of people that were now dwelling with Lot, that they had grown tremendously, not just in wealth, but in people and everything as well. Both Abram and Lot had accumulated so much that the land that they were living in could not sustain all that they had. So conflict arose between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. The reference to the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelling in the land shows us that there were others there as well, using the land for their flocks and their dwelling places. Some commentators actually talk about the idea that here God has given a promise to Abram, and the nations may have been watching how he responds to his God, and did he trust in his God like he should have. Abram, wanting to keep peace between himself and Lot, meets with him and says, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen, we're brothers, we're family. We ought not to be treating each other this way." So Abram goes on to say, "Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will take the right. Or if you take the right, then I will go to the left." Abram makes an incredible offer to Lot. He lets Lot choose the land he would like first. Abram, as the elder, as the patriarch of the family, he forfeits his right to choose first and gives it to the younger. You see, in this particular culture, in this time, basically it was the eldest person in the family that had the right to choose whatever land he wanted. But yet, Abram, in an act of love towards Lot to keep family together, to keep family important, to show his love for Lot, lets him choose. Acting out of love for Lot and wanting peace between them, Abram sacrifices his right to choose first and gives it to Lot. Abram shows his trust in the promise of the Lord. God will provide and God will bless. Abram is trusting in the Lord. Now, this is in contrast to what he was like in Egypt when he was lying and deceiving and saying all these other things. Now he's saying, "You choose, I'm going to trust the Lord for what he's going to give me. God made a promise, and I believe that he will fulfill it." In verse 10, we read, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." Here in this passage is where we have a hint of what Lot was looking for. He wanted land that reflected his accumulation of wealth in Egypt. He was not thinking of Abram. He was thinking only of himself and what he wanted. He was taking the easier way of doing things rather than trusting in the Lord as his uncle was now doing. As I read this, I thought back to the Garden of Eden and how Adam and Eve were told by God to not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they do, they would die. Yet when Satan came and convinced them that it would not kill them, but instead make them like God, they looked at the fruit differently. No longer was it something that was not good for them. Now, it was something else. In Genesis 3:6, it says that they saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, they took of its fruit and ate. They saw that it was good. They saw that it was pleasing to the eye. And they saw that it was good for obtaining wisdom. And they partook of the fruit. Adam and Eve did not trust God. And neither did Lot. Adam and Eve did not trust in the Lord. And neither did Lot. Lot looked at the land and saw that it was good for food. It would feed all his cattle. It would feed all his herdsmen. It would feed everything that he had. He looked at the land and saw that it was good for food. He looked at the land and it was a delight to the eyes. He looked at the land and thought it would make him more powerful because he would continue to grow and he would continue to prosper. At least that's what he thought. Lot did not trust in the Lord. He lived by sight and not by faith. He did not take into account that the land he was choosing was filled with wicked, great sinners before the Lord. So he journeyed east to the Jordan Valley and eventually settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Interestingly, the word eventually kind of bothered me a little bit. Interestingly, the word eventually gives us the impression that over the course of time, Lot became more enamored with the things of this world and eventually dwelt in or at least near the city of Sodom in order to enjoy the luxuries and easy living the city provided. I call this drifting. I call this drifting. When I think about what happens with guys at the mission, or even when we choose to fall into sin, it's kind of interesting to watch as a counselor, as somebody who tries to guide people and help people, it's kind of interesting to watch what happens. You know, so often we make decisions and we say, Lord, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to make all these changes. And so people will say, I'm going to go to church more faithfully. I'm going to read the Bible more faithfully. I'm going to be accountable to somebody. I'm going to fellowship with the right people. I'm going to do the things that I need to do. And it's interesting because when people do that, things tend to go pretty good for a while. Their life begins to be transformed. You begin to see changes. You begin to see things happening. I've seen it at the mission dozens of times. I've seen guys commit themselves to Christ, and I see their life changing. The drugs isn't the issue anymore. The homelessness isn't the issue anymore. You know, all these things are not issues. Hanging out with the wrong people is not the issue anymore. They're doing the things that they need to do. But you know what happens? After a while, you know what happens? They get comfortable. And they forget what happened and where they came from. And what begins to happen is they begin to say something like this. You know, I've been going to church every week for months. I need a break. I need to take a week off. You know, I've been going to Bible study, and you know, Ron's teaching on the book of Romans is just really getting to me. I don't want to go this week. I meant Ron Hamming. Sorry. I forget there's another Ron. I would never get tired of your teaching. Sorry. But you know, the Bible study, you know, accountability, you know, he's been calling me every week. You know what? I'm not going to answer my phone this time. You know, and what begins to happen is what I call drifting. And so, you know, here you're on the right track. You're doing everything you're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm not going to go to church this Sunday. Bam. You know? And then you sit there and you say, well, you know, nothing's happened. Lightning didn't come down and strike me. Everything seems to be going okay. You know, maybe this week I won't go to Bible study. You know? And you know that accountability thing? It's not everything it's cracked up to be. So, you know what? I'm not going to do that either. You know, fellowship, you know, I really like some of my old sinful friends. We had some good parties and good times together. You know, I think I'm going to go start hanging out with them again. And then before you know it, I'm not where I used to be. And then the door is open for sin and relapse and all kinds of things to happen again. Now, it doesn't have to do with just addiction. This is an issue of the heart. This is an issue of God working in the heart. And when we deny God and we don't trust God, we begin to trust in ourselves and we begin this drifting process away from the things that God wants us to do. And that's what's happening with Lot. Lot is doing that. Many times when we fall into sin, we don't just jump into it. Sometimes we do. But more often, we drift into sin through a series of compromises that in themselves may not seem to be sinful, but cumulatively can be deadly. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. Lot did not trust in the Lord, but only in the selfish desires of his heart. When he chose, he did not look at the bigger picture, and as a result, he suffered all the more because of it. But when we come to Abram, we find somebody who is trusting and following in the Lord. Abram trusted the Lord. After Lot separates from Abram, the Lord says to Abram, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. In the midst of his separation from Lot, the Lord comforts Abram by reaffirming his covenant with him. Abram loved Lot. He was his family. He was his kinsman. And having him leave him and be separated was painful. So God comforts Abram by reminding him of the promises, reminding him that I have made a promise and I will keep it. Keep trusting me. God will not forget what he has promised, and God calls Abram to trust him. Then the Lord says to Abram, "Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." Abram walking through the land shows his agreement to trust the Lord and that the land he is walking on will be his. He believes this by faith. You know, again, culturally, during this time period, when somebody was buying a piece of property, if I was buying a piece of property from you and we were going to go out and look at the land, and what we would do as a part of the contractual agreement, you and I would walk through the land together. We would walk from one boundary to the other boundary. We would walk from that boundary to that boundary, and we would walk the land as a part of our contract, as a part of our agreement that you are selling me this land, and this is the land that I will possess. So when God is walking, when Abram is walking with the Lord through the land, it is kind of like the confirming of the contract, the confirming of the promise, the confirming of saying, this is the land that I will give to you. Trust me. Trust me. Although still a sojourner in the land, Abram settles by the oaks of Mamre at Hebron. Mamre was an Amorite chieftain who was an ally of Abram. It's kind of interesting to note that when Lot goes and settles the land, it says that they were wicked and great sinners before the Lord. So who is he dwelling with? Abram, on the other hand, surrounds himself with allies, people who would support him and encourage him. It's interesting to see that. And then while there in Hebron, Abram builds another altar to the Lord, and he worships him there. It's a beautiful picture of someone trusting in the Lord. So what do we get out of all this? Be careful what you ask for. It may not be as good as you think. Ask yourself, how am I living today? Am I like Lot? Am I making decisions based on what is best for me? Or am I making decisions that are pleasing to my eyes? Am I making decisions that I think are going to be profitable and successful for me? Am I making decisions that are based on feelings and emotions? I want this. It's not that these things are bad in themselves, but what we have to ask ourselves is this more important to me than trusting in the Lord? If I put my desire for success, wealth, happiness, all that kind of stuff, if I put that in front of my trusting in the Lord, that's a problem. Because my peace can only come from the Lord. Your peace can only come from the Lord. We can try to find it in all kinds of things, but it's not going to happen. We might get temporal blessing. We might get temporal comfort. We might get temporal happiness. But you know what? It doesn't last because it's not rooted in Jesus. It's not rooted in the Lord. We need to ask ourselves, am I like Lot who wants to enjoy the worldly things and have God on the periphery of my life? I'll only call on you when I need you. You know, I like one author, he writes, I treat God like he's my psychic errand boy. You know, I'll call on him when I need him. But as far as any other time, just stay away. We have to be careful about that kind of an attitude, whether we do it consciously or not so consciously. And that's why I think it's important to be in community so that people can remind us when we're straying and we're moving away from the point that we need to be. On the other hand, are we like Abram? Are we like Abram? Are you trusting in the promises of the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you generous with your possessions? Abraham, it was his land. And he said, you pick. He was generous. Are you putting others ahead of yourself? Are you being self-sacrificing? You know, I think that's something we need to think about. Are we thinking about the interest of others more than ourselves? If not, you can be like Abram and call upon the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord today is Jesus. You can call upon the Lord because God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. That name is Jesus, God among us, our Lord and Savior. Through him, we have been adopted into the family of God. Abram took Lot in as his own kin. Lot's father had died, and Abram took him in as his own son, like a son. So that name is Jesus. Through him, we have been adopted into the family of God. He is our advocate. Jesus is the one who defends us. And we're going to see that when we get to the next chapter, and Lot is taken captive, and he needs to be rescued. He's our advocate. He has offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He has put our need ahead of his own by humbling himself to take on human flesh and dying on the cross for us. He has been abundantly generous to us. In him, we have received the righteousness that comes from God. Jesus trusted his Father, and we can too. So here we sit. Today we have graduates in our midst. We have people who are graduating, and there are decisions that we face. The world is out there, and it's throwing all kinds of things at us, things that are appealing to the eye, things that say, well, if you want to be successful, do this. But the first thing we need to do is say, am I trusting in the Lord in what I'm doing now? Am I trusting in the Lord and doing the things that God has called me to do so that he can give me direction on where he wants me to be? That's what we need to think about. Perhaps you don't have a job. The economy's tough. A lot of people are looking for work. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting in the Lord and waiting on him? It's hard. It's not easy. But God provides. Perhaps you're struggling with some intense issues in your life and making decisions without good godly counsel. Maybe you need to just step back and say, you know what? Why am I in such a rush to try to fix it? Maybe what I need to do is just rest in the Lord and trust God and trust and believe in the promises that he has made to me. Let me close with these words. If anything else, this is what I want you to remember. Now, you should have, most of you should know this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Look, trust in the Lord. Abraham did, and look at what happened. You will be a blessing to the nations. Your seed will be innumerable. Abraham's seed is still growing today. Powerful. Lean not on your own understanding. Lot did, and look what happened. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. He will not fail you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for Abram, who trusted you. He wasn't perfect. He still made mistakes. But your promises were fulfilled, because you are the God who fulfills your promises. So we thank you, and we pray that you would direct us and guide us even today. In Jesus' name, amen.